Hello and welcome. This is Curtis Greco, author and founder of the Imperfect Messenger Foundation, here today to pass along a few thoughts on the topic of globalization and a recovery strategy. And yes, there is a great deal of chatter on the topic of globalization these days, and this notion of somehow we are now an internationally dependent nation, and what a great success the various trade agreements have been for opening up the world to American exports, and what an economic windfall this has been to the U.S. economy. Now, of course, I've got to ask you, how's that great success of globalization working out for you, for your friends, for your family? Judging from the economic condition of the United States these days, the 8 million lost manufacturing jobs and 14 million and growing unemployed, it appears to me that for man, the outcome is not particularly good. Globalization was sold to the public using a series of particularly specious arguments, which not only on their own indicate a fundamental lack of understanding of basic economics, but also indicate an extreme notion of perhaps the absurd in action. For example, number one, expanding markets for American products by creating a quasi-level playing field that would in turn somehow make American products perhaps more competitive in the global market. However, here's a question that continues to remain unanswered. How is it that we make ourselves more competitive in that global market by exporting our productive industries, our manufacturing capability, and of course our technological leadership? The equivalent form of logic in the absurd is something along the lines of, I will give away my home so that I can buy it back from you. And of course, please don't look for it to make sense. It doesn't. Ever. The U.S. economy is in the state that it is for many reasons, and there are many events in various sequences which explain how it all occurred. The Blind Vision series offers a great series of commentaries on various points, and as you would expect, I would suggest that you obtain a copy of it and explore those discussions, but for now, let's cover a few quick points. First of all, know that there is no cart before the horse issue at play in this process. Actually, I believe it more likely two horses pulling the same cart in opposite directions, one horse being enterprise and the other being government's insatiable desire for power and control. In the middle is the cart, which is, in effect, you and what I refer to as the native economy, which is largely ignored and is, rest assured, the very genius of all economic activity. That is, the kinetic force of all, which is explained this way, demand in search of supply. What the monetary theorists of the day dare not attest to is a simple fact, and that's the reason for the growth in both structural deficits and a so-called advanced economy's inability to spend their way out of it is, in my opinion, a function of the following points. Number one, degradation in domestic, that is the native economic development component of the U.S. economy. Number two, overtaxation of non-corporate interests. Corporate interests, that is being the corporate structures, tax revenues, have been plummeting for years while individual tax burdens have exploded. Number three, diminishing household incomes due to number one above, which is the component of the native economy's expansion and development. Number four, increased non-discretionary spending directly related and in an attempt to cover, again, the degradation in the native economy, overtaxation, and diminishing household incomes. Number five, hypercurrency creation directly related to fiat monetary policy and fiat capital creation. And of course, number six, over-reliance on the issue of, and the notion of, that is, the global economic theory of expanded markets is equivalent to expanded wealth modeling. To name, of course, but a few failures in the process, let's just recall the earlier comment about how can you expect to develop economic expansion in a nation state when the very vehicle that is used to create that economic expansion is exported offshore. The summation might appear this way. As corporate interests have moved away from the domestic financial stewardship, concurrently they've effectively rallied the government to enable that very same process, the result of which has been diminishing tax revenues on the corporate level in exchange for increased burden on the household sector. As corporations have become less nation-state conscious, they have also managed to exchange their productive capacity for effective profit base largely on their ability to avoid taxation, as there is no documented evidence to authenticate that corporate profit growth is based on the cheap labor argument. This net effect of this is, of course, the near simultaneous convergence of an economic malaise brought about by the disincentive of productive wealth-creating practices. So then, with these thoughts in mind, what is the average American to do? The answer to this question is partially what lies back of my motivation for writing the Blind Vision series, and it was an attempt on my part to bring practical knowledge and practical understanding to reply to these questions of what to do, particularly when looking at the abstract notions of government and the illusion of complexity that it appears to demonstrate. It, in fact, is not complex at all. So let's go on to a few points from the Blind Vision series that you will find particularly in Volume 3. Number 1, the American people need to decide upon and align under a common ideal. Without this, the two-cart pulling in opposite directions notions is going to continue, and it is going to prove our ultimate destruction. Number 2, states should prohibit partisan ballot elections. You may want to run as a Democrat or a Republican, or for that matter a Libertarian, but you may not control the ballot box in the process of it. Number 3, return the selection of state senators to the representative state legislative function, or at the very least, prohibit out-of-state contributions from national parties or other states' senators' war chests. Number 4, reassert and establish the once sovereign notion of states' rights under the 10th Amendment by depoliticizing state legislatures and governorships. Then, through the ballot box, begin to enforce state rights against the federal government. Number 5, immediately reformulate the Internal Revenue Code away from the punitive taxations of productive income. Number 6, prohibit the federal government from engaging in entitlement apportionment and completely abandon the current Social Security system, Medicaid and Medicare, and restore it to a self-funding system out of reach of government plundering of these very systems' funding mechanisms. Number 7, prohibit union collective bargaining processes for all government occupations. This process has destabilized the balance necessary between the consent of the government and the government's ability to provide those very services. It has degraded the financial health of most every state in the union and has debilitated and degraded the services related to the very same. And number 8, restore the role of education as a bastion for learning and not for social engineering. A national ideal must be administered only at the local level. Provide choice in education, and you'll ensure performance. And again, these are just a few of the many issues and ideas discussed in the Valor and Prosperity segments of the Blind Vision series. And the people need to explore these volumes, if for no other reason, to consider what it is that you don't know and what is not even being considered. But this is only a part of the point, as in the end, it is not possible to claim one as an individual in possession of one's inalienable rights of freedom and liberty, particularly when freedom and liberty are not among the choices offered. And that's frankly all there is to say about that. So for now, we'll close with our trademark tag. At the Imperfect Messenger Foundation, we are on point, on purpose, in practice. And so, be a part of a life-changing experience by making your voice count. After all, you too are a messenger.